Thursday, 12 November 15, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Once again, let's count our blessings today. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Oh, my sakes. If we do, we'll be constantly busy. So we've got a lot of burdens. I know we do. We've got a lot of blessings, too. And one of the blessings is we have the opportunity to share the Word of God together on Christian radio. Welcome to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church, located in New Bern, North Carolina. And I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're looking at the great truths that God taught Peter when he sent him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to preach to Cornelius. And Lord willing, we're going to be concluding this particular series soon. And I'm excited about our next one as we'll be visiting with Brother Paul again. We saw him meet the man when he was on the Damascus Road for salvation. But we're going to find out also that he meets the angel of the Lord in a time of the storm of his life, and how God took care of him, and how that we not only need the Lord for salvation, we need the Lord for safety and for sustenance. I'm so glad that he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Well, I hope you had a wonderful time in the Lord's house last night, if you're able to be there, or maybe your midweek services tonight, whenever it is. Sure hope you can be there. Would you join us in prayer? Father, bless us now with thy word. Speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's not forget our topic here, our subject, found in Acts chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. Peter is testifying, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together, and he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Our topic is God has showed me, and we've seen many things that the Lord showed Peter, and thereby he shows us as well. But we should never call any man common or unclean, and remember that God is no respecter of persons, as Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 and 35, God plainly reveals to us that he is no respecter of persons. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And by the way, when someone asked the Lord Jesus, what can I do to work the work of God? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Well, then we read in the last broadcast and shared with you how Peter gave them the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. And we closed out our last broadcast with this great truth that the whole Old Testament is a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 43 of Acts chapter 10, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. At the time that this was written, the New Testament was not complete, and they were studying the precious Old Testament. And by the way, don't ever disregard the Old Testament. As I tried to share with you on the last broadcast, the New Testament is enfolded in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is outfolded in the New Testament. We have one Bible. We have one Holy Bible, 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, all of it the precious Word of God, God's God-breathed book to us. Well, we see also that Peter learned that Cornelius, his family, and his friends were saved and baptized. Isn't that wonderful? Let's read together now this victory portion here, Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. Well, you say, Brother Bill, the whole chapter is a victory portion. I know that, and I agree with you. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them all which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, why was this necessary? These Jews were there with Peter, and they saw. They couldn't see what went on in the heart, but they saw what went on outwardly. And God confirmed to them that he had saved these Gentiles just as he had saved the Jews, confirming once again what we read in the book of Romans, that Jesus Christ had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and making no difference as far as salvation is concerned between the Jew and the Greek or the Jew and the Gentile, for the grace of God is rich unto all that call upon him. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which were believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles was poured out also the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That was a just like they did at Pentecost, a not unknown tongue, but they spoke in languages. All the people could hear clearly what was being said, and they magnified God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Dear friend, this plan has not changed. This procedure has not changed. And here is the right order for it. First of all, God deals with the hearts of unsaved people. He also deals with our hearts to reach them with the gospel. We said that one of the great lessons was learned in this portion of Scripture, that God, just as he prepares a sinner's heart, he prepares a soul winner's heart. And here we find a tremendous example of that, do we not? Well, after these people got saved, Peter asked them this. Peter asked this question, he said, and he said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" You see, everybody since Pentecost, everybody who is saved now, receives the blessed Spirit of God. When we are saved, he comes to dwell in our heart. And now Peter is saying, these people are saved. Why should they not be baptized? Can any man forbid water? And that's the next step of obedience. Baptism is not essential to salvation, but baptism is essential to obedience to the Lord after we have been saved. And by the way, baptism means immersion. It comes from the word baptizo, which means to immerse or to submerge. That is the only acceptable type of what has happened to us, because God has placed us under the blood of Christ to wash away our sins, and he brings us up to walk in newness of life. "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, dear friend, what a wonderful truth we have here in this scripture. Christ Jesus, the only Savior, is preached to this Gentile, this centurion, this high-ranking military officer who had a hungry heart. He's not only concerned about himself, but he's concerned about others, and he gathers them together so that when Peter gets there, they can hear the gospel as well. I've found this to be true over the years. Basically, as soon as anybody is saved, one of their first desires is that their family be saved also. And you know, dear friend, even those who are burning in hell today are concerned about their loved ones also. You hear people make a foolish statement like, "Well, no, I don't want to get saved. I'm going to hell where all my friends are." Well, you might well do that, but you're not going to be glad. You're not going to be satisfied when you get there. The Bible speaks about a man dying and going to hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. And at that time, Abraham's bosom was within sight. And he sees Lazarus over there in Abraham's bosom. And he said to Father Abraham, "Would you send Lazarus over here and let him just touch my tongue with some water?" And Abraham said, "No, that can't be. There's a great gap between us." Well, he said, "If you won't send him here, would you send him back to my father's house? Send him back to where my brothers are, that he might give them the gospel, lest they be tormented in this flame." I want to tell you, dear friend, hell's no laughing matter. Hell is real. Heaven is real. And dear friend, I hope today that if you're not saved, you'll trust Christ as your Savior. And if you are saved, that you'll thank God that he has given us his precious Son to save us, and that we can be saved and know that we're saved, and by his grace, we can reach others with the gospel as well. Would you please join us in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for saving Cornelius and his household. Thank you for saving us, dear God. I pray for any who are lost without thee today that they'll be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join us next broadcast if you can.